This is from Luke chapter 19, about 10 chapters earlier. We had that moment of pivot in the life of Jesus where he turned his face towards Jerusalem, knowing that he was on his way for this confrontation with the leaders of the Jewish community, the leaders of the temple. And so now we get to the point where he arrives in Jerusalem, he arrives in the temple, and immediately we see they're trying to kill him. This is before, you know, any kind of media, much less social media. So they had probably heard of rumors about this man, Jesus, and he had visited the temple the years previously, but he wasn't this well-known celebrity that the very first time he comes in, they have this reason to be all together hating him, trying to kill him. But we see that power, the simple power of the gospel, the preaching, the proclamation of salvation, being set free from sin and darkness. Because we see that Jesus cleansed the temple physically, but he began to teach. So the purification of the hearts of the people were continuing as he was proclaiming the truth in those days leading up to his death. The temple was that central place for the Jewish people. It was a privileged place. It was a holy place because it was a place of encounter. And going all the way back to the Exodus, where the ark was dwelling among them, and they became a more concrete people, and they built this wonderful temple as a place to encounter God. But the glory of God had already left that temple, Ezekiel tells us. And as we've been hearing from the book of Maccabees in the first reading in these last few days, and when the Holy Land was taken over by the foreign powers, and they were trying to force the Jews to abandon their religious practices, we heard about the martyrdom, the persecution, the killing of the Jews who refused to go along with the new way of thinking. But some of them resisted, persevered. And the reading today from Maccabees is the reestablishment of the temple and that great 8-day celebration that was called for to mark this great moment in the life of the Jewish people. And it said it should be a yearly observance. So this is the foundation of the Jewish feast of Hanukkah. Interesting fact, the Jewish people don't have Maccabees in their scriptures. So when they went to have the historical foundation of one of their major feasts, they have to come to the Bible that the Catholics have. The Bible, the revealed word. But they were called to celebrate on a yearly basis that feast of dedication of the temple. And Jesus was cleansing the temple because the temple had become something it was not supposed to be. And he tells us in John's gospel clearly that he is the new temple. He is that place of encounter. And what so beautifully St. Paul tells us is that through our baptism that we become temples. That we become places of encounter, or at least we should. And so the Jews were celebrating this external building, the glorious magnificence of the temple. But clearly by the time of Jesus, interiorly it was corrupted. It's the same danger that each one of us faces. That we are baptized, dedicated, consecrated, set apart for our Lord. And we can easily go through the externals of our faith, which are good and necessary for salvation. But they must lead to the internal conversion and purification. The hearing of the word being proclaimed by the celebration of the sacraments, by reading the sacred scriptures, our interior life should be purified. And so when we do our nightly examine and our thorough examination of conscience, we have to ask ourselves, when Jesus comes What does he find? Have we established ourselves as a marketplace, as a den of thieves, that holds so tightly to our own idea of how things should be that we resist the proclamation of the truth? And so we might not claim that we want to kill Jesus, but we'd rather have some space from him, because my way is my way. This is this application of the scriptures today, and it happens every so often that we have this passage on Black Friday, where sadly many people celebrate gluttony yesterday and with their eating, and then gluttony today with their spending, turning their bodies into marketplaces, sharing themselves with the commercial world, depriving God of that space, turning ourselves into marketplaces. And so we rejoice at that reading from the Maccabees to remind ourselves of who we are and what we've become. And this is why it's important for us to know the date of our baptism and to celebrate it yearly as the feast of your dedication, the moment that you became a temple, the place of encounter with the risen Lord. They lit their menorah, the bright lights burning, as a sign of God's presence among them. Your life too should be a light burning brightly. On this Black Friday and on this cloudy Friday, we need some light. The world needs you to be a place of encounter with the risen Lord, the saving Lord. St. Andrew Dung Lock and the companions from Vietnam. We have no idea how many men and women, clergy and lay, were murdered, martyred, persecuted, simply for holding true to the faith proclaimed. It's the common story in all of the Asian countries. The gospel was welcomed at first, but once the leaders, the establishment, realized the impact it would have on their status in the community, they quickly tried to shut it down. And so over a couple of hundred years, thousands of people were martyred for being true to the one true faith. Sadly, we're seeing similar things in our own country. Maybe the red martyrdom hasn't begun just yet, unless we count the babies in the womb. But the proclamation, the cleansing word of Jesus Christ, is no longer welcomed in our public square. And so we look to the martyrs for strength, for faith, for perseverance. But as the persecution continues and tightens against us, that we won't sell ourselves to the highest bidder in the marketplace, but we will stay true, we will stay faithful, allowing the light of Christ to shine through you, into the darkness, out into the world.